It's now time for our Bible reading. So we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18 through to verse 25. Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thanks, Hannah, and good morning, everyone. I think there's something poetic about being led on Christmas Day by a pregnant lady. I did suggest that Hannah could enter this morning and come up here on a donkey, but she wouldn't be in it. I don't know why. So there we go. My friends, I wonder if you've ever thought about the Christmas story from the perspective of Joseph. I mean, we often think about Zechariah and Elizabeth, the shepherds and the angels, the Magi and Herod, Simeon and Anna, and especially Mary, and of course, the baby Jesus. But what about this man Joseph? Do you ever really think about him? Over the last month or so, Caroline and I have been meeting up with Tyler and Danielle, and also with Callum and Sophie, preparing for their weddings early next year. And as part of that, we've been talking to them about their hopes and their aspirations, their plans and their priorities for the future. And you know, I realise that Joseph is really just like them. Like Tyler and like Callum, he's an ordinary guy looking forward to getting married. He's just a regular young man with a plan. For in verse 18 of our passage, it says there that he and Mary were pledged to be married. They were engaged. And so Joseph must have thought often about the love of his life and the wonderful future that they were preparing together. Would they rent a house? Or would they buy or build? Joseph was a carpenter after all. Would they start a family straight away, or would they spend some time saving up? We don't know exactly what young couples wished for back then, but we can be certain that they had hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams for a long and happy life, for health and security, for children and a loving home. We can be certain that just like us, they had their ideal future all mapped out. But all of a sudden, things changed, didn't they? For it says, before they came together, Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, we're already told that this was an act of God, but Joseph didn't know that. So can you imagine that man's shock and devastation? It would have been bad enough if the baby was his, but he knew that it wasn't. He knew that he had done the right thing. And so this was far worse. For this news could only mean that his precious Mary must have been unfaithful to him. She must have been with another man. And so verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In those days, this concept of engagement was stronger than it is today. Even though the couple did not live together, they were already referred to as being husband and wife. And to break off the relationship required a legal divorce. But Joseph actually had no other option. He wasn't being vindictive. He was simply following the law, which said that because of her adultery, Mary was now ineligible for marriage. In fact, if Joseph wanted to be vindictive, well, then he actually had every right to have Mary humiliated and punished and even put to death. But he didn't want that. He just wanted what was necessary without any further pain. He just wanted a quiet divorce. Surely he thought that one day he may find love again. One day his plans for the future might be rekindled. But again, that wasn't to be, was it? For it then says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And so his plans changed again. He planned a nice, normal marriage, but that was shattered with the news of Mary's pregnancy. He planned a nice, quiet divorce, but that was unraveling as well. For the Lord now told him to forget the divorce and to go ahead with the wedding. And so he now knew that he would be left with a wife who everyone thought had betrayed him, and with a child who he knew was not his own. But if we skip to verse 24, we're told that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But that raises what I think is a very important question. And that question is why? Why did God do this? Why didn't he let Joseph and Mary have the comfortable life that they desired? And when things went pear-shaped, why didn't he just let Joseph do what he was obliged to do and to give himself a fresh start? My friends, I ask you this morning, why did God interfere in their plans? Why did he make things so difficult for them? Is it because God is the vindictive one, taking pleasure in ruining people's lives for no apparent reason? I mean, you can imagine Joseph complaining, can't you? Why me? What have I done to deserve all of this? Why is God making my life so tough? But my friends, we need to realize this morning that God is not a vindictive God. He's not in the business of dealing out random acts of misery and suffering. My friends, what we need to realize this morning is that all of these things happened for a very important reason. All of these things happened because God had a greater plan. And this is already revealed at the start when it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. You see, this was no ordinary child. My friends, this was the Messiah. This was the Christ. This was the very one who God had been promising for thousands of years. And we've already seen, haven't we, that Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And so the angel also then revealed this to Joseph, saying to him, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph came to see that Mary had not been unfaithful. Mary had not done wrong. Her pregnancy was an amazing act of God. And the reason for this amazing act of God is revealed in the two names that were given to the child. First of all, in verse 21, the angel said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, my friends, if you're here today and you're actually willing to be honest with yourself, then you will know that entrenched within you is a fundamental problem. For by nature, we are all out of sync with God, the God who made us. And as a result, we behave and we speak and we even think in ways that are evil in His sight. We ignore Him. We worship worldly things in His place. We fail to love our neighbour as ourselves. And we live immoral and self-centered lives. And so, my friends, as I look at all the horrible, shameful, hurtful things that I have done, I know in my heart that I'm guilty before God. And as you look at all the horrible, shameful, hurtful things that you have done, you'll know that you are too. And the Bible tells us that one day we will stand before Him and we will be judged. But yet the angel said, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, my friends, the very reason why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit was so that he might be the same as us, yet different. For he shared our human flesh, but yet he was free from the curse of sin. And as a result, he is the only one who can save us. But how could this be? Well, verses 22 and 23 reveal that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit not only so that he might be free from sin, but also so that he might be the very Son of God. This amazing virgin conception was the miraculous means by which God himself entered into our world, by which our Heavenly Father sent his own divine Son to live here upon this earth. And so as Jesus was born and grew and lived among us, he confirmed his identity. For his life and his teachings and his miracles all revealed that he was indeed truly human, but at the same time truly divine. Because, my friends, he was the Word made flesh. He was God with us. And in the end, he willingly gave himself to the most horrific suffering that you could ever imagine. He was tortured. He was mocked. He was nailed to a cross. And as darkness came over the land, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you know what the answer is? The answer is because he did it for us. He gave his life in our place. He paid our penalty and he earned our forgiveness. The very reason why he came was to save us from our sins. And so we come back to the question of why. Why did the Lord interfere in Joseph's comfortable life and his well-laid plans? Well, my friends, it's because the Lord had a far greater plan. It's because the Lord had a plan of salvation. And as this amazing truth was revealed to this man, Joseph, he came to understand it, he came to accept it, and he came to believe it. And as a result, he trusted in the Lord and he obeyed his command. It says he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. But my friends, we're a lot like Joseph, aren't we? For we all have goals and aspirations for the future. We all hope for a nice and comfortable life, to be happy and well off and healthy. We all have our ideal future perfectly mapped out. But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? In fact, it rarely does. for unexpected issues and challenges and struggles come our way. And while sometimes we're able to solve them, there are many times when we can't. It might be a tragic accident. It might be an unwanted disability. It might be a relationship that has gone sour. It might be failures in study or unemployment. It might be infertility. It might be abuse from someone we trusted. It might be too much stress and too many sleepless nights. It might be bankruptcy or a legal battle. It might be illness or disease. It might be the death of someone who we loved. In fact, I would say that pretty much every one of us will be able to think of hopes and plans that we had for our lives that didn't work out the way we expected. And when this happens, we might too cry out, "Why me? What have I done to deserve all this? Why is God making my life so tough?" But my friends, it's exactly then that we need to remember that our God has a greater plan. He's not disinterested in the normal worldly things of daily life. He's not disinterested in your goals and aspirations. But we need to realize that at the end of the day, all of these things pale into insignificance when compared to the eternal salvation of our souls. And so we should hardly be surprised that there are times when God overrides our earthly ambitions for the sake of His heavenly plan. You see, God might disrupt our plans for the sake of our own salvation. I mean, I don't know too many people who have come to the Lord during an easy time in their life. Usually it happens in crisis, in hardship, in a period when they didn't know where else to turn. I mean, why do you think it is that so many people put their trust in Jesus during times of war and disaster and pandemic? Why do you think it is that the church is growing the fastest in third world countries where people are living in poverty and hardship? My friends, why do you think it is that Jesus came especially to the poor and the blind and the lame? You know, in my own life, it was the premature death of my father that God used to open my eyes to His truth. And let me tell you, this was definitely not part of my ideal plan, but yet it was part of God's greater plan. And you know, maybe you too can testify to a similar experience in your own life. But there's an important application in this for us this morning. And that is because you may be here this morning, but yet you have never yet put your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never experienced His forgiveness. Maybe you've never experienced His salvation. And when you look at your life, you can see that things are not quite right. You once had all those dreams and all those goals, but instead you're left with struggles and disappointments. Well, I want to ask you this morning, is it possible that God is trying to get your attention? Is it possible that God is disturbing your worldly plans in order to implement His far greater plan in your life? C.S. Lewis once famously said this, "Pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world." My friend, I want to ask you, is God shouting to you today? Is He calling you to turn to His Son, the one who came to save you from your sins? But we need to realize that God might also disrupt our plans for the sake of the salvation of others. And you know, that's something I think we should think about very carefully indeed. You see, Joseph had this perfect life all mapped out before him. And if God had left him to it, then his plan of salvation would not have come to pass. But I ask you this morning, what about us? I'm sure we too have our perfect lives mapped out. But what place is there in that plan for spreading the gospel? What place is there for reaching the lost? What place is there for the salvation of souls? You know, maybe you're so obsessed with worldly things that there's no room for that at all. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Jesus spoke to a man who left his servants with different amounts of money and instruction to use it well in his absence. But when he returned, two had worked hard, and as a result, they shared in their master's happiness. But one had done nothing and was thrown out into the darkness. My friends, our God has given every single one of us time and abilities and wealth and gifts and assets and opportunities. But are we using them only for ourselves? Or are we using them for our God? And so, with a new year standing ahead of us, I want to ask you today, are we going to cling to our self-centered plans for a comfortable and self-centered life? Or are we going to let our plans be disrupted for the sake of the gospel? Is God calling on you today to change your priorities? Is He calling you to give more of your time and more of your money for the sake of His kingdom? Is He calling you to go into ministry or to become a missionary? Is He calling you to lead Sunday school or to lead a growth group? Is He calling you to devote more time to your unbelieving friends? Is He calling you to say yes instead of no? Is He calling you to say, I can do more, not less? My friends, is He calling you to put Him absolutely first in your life? Or, you know, maybe you're here today and you're already experiencing a serious disruption to your plans. But do you also need to stop and think about God's greater plan? Is the fact that things are not going well a way of God trying to get your attention as well? Is the fact that you haven't found a husband or a wife God telling you you have an opportunity to serve God? Is the fact that you're spending a lot of time at the hospital God saying you have an opportunity to be a witness for me? Is your disability an opportunity to tell about God's sustaining grace? Is your hardship an opportunity to speak about His faithfulness and love? My friends, I asked you at the beginning if you've ever thought about Christmas from Joseph's perspective. For Joseph was indeed a regular young man with a plan. But his plans were seriously disrupted because the Lord had more important things in mind. The Lord was using Joseph as part of His greater plan to send the Messiah, His greater plan of salvation. But that story is not yet finished, is it? For after Jesus' birth and His life and His death and His resurrection, He left us with a commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, He said, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. My friends, one day we're going to stand before our Lord, aren't we? But He's not going to ask us if we had a comfortable life. He's not going to ask us if all our worldly aspirations came to pass. But He will ask, did you submit your plans to my plan? Did you focus on the things that really matter? Did you use what I gave you for the sake of salvation? People of Riverbank, this Christmas, may we truly listen to His call. Amen. Let's pray. Our almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your great and holy name because you are indeed the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the God who sustains all that you have made. And you are the God who sent your own dear Son into this world to be born of a woman, to be born in human flesh. And Father, we want to thank you today for refocusing us on the things that really matter. Refocusing us on the reason that Christmas really matters. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus, born as a baby, born to save us from our sins. And Father, we want to thank you that you disturbed Joseph's plans in order to make that happen. But Lord, this morning we pray, please disturb our plans as well. Father, if we are here today and we do not believe, Lord, we ask you to speak to us, to shout to us, shout the truth of the gospel into our hearts that we might indeed turn to Jesus in repentance and in faith. And Father, if we are here today and we do believe, we pray, please use us for the salvation of others. Because Lord, we know that at the end of the day, worldly things mean so little. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But the thing that lasts forever is the salvation of souls. And so, Father, we pray, please stir in us a fire that we might desire nothing less than to be your witnesses in this world and to tell everyone we can about the salvation that can be found in Christ alone. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.